Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Welcome back to our show, Polygamy, What Love Is This? My name is Doris Hansen. I'm your host for the program. We trust that you all had a very great Thanksgiving holiday and that your hearts are all filled with gratitude and praise to our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're here to talk about polygamy, and it seems like there's always plenty about polygamy to talk about. Most people who are living the polygamous lifestyle do so for only one reason, and that reason is because they believe that it pleases God for them to live this kind of a lifestyle. They do live painfully hard for their religion, and believe me, these lives that they live are very hard lives. In the April 2007 General Conference for the LDS Church, the late Gordon B. Hinckley made this remark to the men. He said, "Husbands, love and treasure your wives. They are your most precious possessions." Ladies, did you realize that you are looked on as being possessions of your husbands? You know, it's amazing to me that we receive many rebuking telephone calls and emails calling us to account and accusing us for blurring the line between Mormon fundamentalism and the mainline Mormon church. And yet the leaders of the LDS church blur the lines themselves when they make insulting and degrading remarks like this, suggesting that women are mere possessions of their husbands. That is Mormon fundamentalist thinking. And in fact, we know of many polygamous men who believe that they have not only the responsibility, but the duty to discipline their wives. Can you imagine that? Disciplining your wife. The sad part is many of the polygamous wives also believe that that is her husband's duty. But that was not God's plan or His idea from the beginning. When He made Adam and Eve, He placed Eve on an equal level with her husband. He had no plan of having one above the other like that. In fact, God commanded the man to love his wife. And if you look into the biblical dictionary, you will find the word He used for love in that passage is sacrificial love. The same kind of love that we're told that took Jesus Christ to the cross to pay for our sins. And it is very rare that you'll find that kind of sacrificial love in a polygamous relationship. This is a live telephone call-in program. Our telephone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. You might want to write that number down. In about a half hour, we'll open up the phone lines. You'll be able to call in and make comments and give us your opinion or ask questions about our subject tonight. If you'd rather ask your questions off the air, of course, you can email us at tv@aboutpolygamy.com, or if you are afraid you're going to be recognized, you can always call in and leave a question. We'll read it with you off the air, or you can use an alias. If you're a new viewer tonight, we'd like to thank you and hope you that you enjoy the show. You can go on to our website, whatloveisthis.tv, and watch all of our previous programs there on streaming video. And I'd like to remind those who attend our discussion group that we do have a discussion group that we meet once a month, each month. And this month, we're going to be meeting on December 14th at 6:30 p.m. People who have been in polygamy or are now in polygamy, if you're thinking of maybe going into polygamy, you might want to give me an email, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, and come and join us and just learn a little bit more, ask your questions, or just learn a little bit of what others have gone through in polygamy experience. And also, you can log on to our website, www.shieldandrefuge.org. That's our website that deals with the polygamy subject matter. You can learn more about us. You can go there to donate to our ministry if God lays that on your heart to do that. You can go there also to learn how to receive a free DVD and a free booklet that talks about polygamy. And you can go there to get information about how we can help you if you're in a polygamy group and you want to get out, or you just have questions and concerns you'd like to talk about. There's a contact page there. It has our toll-free number. It's 877-425-9993. And if you're in a polygamy group and want out, give us a call. We'll help you. We have a network of people who are ready, willing, and able to help anyone who wants to get out of a polygamous situation. And everything that we talk about when you call us will be held in strict confidence. We do not share your information with anyone else or any other group. Next week, our guest on the show will be Brent Jeffs. He is the author of the book Lost Boy. His story is heartbreaking, and we believe that it will be an eye-opener to many of our viewers and help you understand why we do what we do on this program. So be sure and watch the show. I think that you will hear some things that you probably wish you hadn't heard. For the past few weeks, we had been announcing on the program about the Cult Awareness Conference that would be taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina. We were invited to attend this conference and was also graciously invited to share our message about polygamy in the West to a group of Christians at the Calvary Church in Charlotte. I was also very blessed to attend the Sunday morning worship service at Calvary Church in Charlotte, and there were thousands of people who came together to worship our mighty God in and as one voice. And I was struck. It was an awesome experience. And I was struck with the wonder of praising God with so many thousands of other Christians, and that it is a reminder of what our experience is going to be in heaven, because we will be praising our Redeemer together in heaven for eternity. Our focus in heaven is going to be God through Jesus Christ. And if you don't think that you're going to enjoy spending all that time praising our Savior, then you probably don't want to go to heaven. You see, heaven is not a matter of family or polygamy or marriage. It's not a matter of becoming gods or eternal sex with multiple wives or begetting billions and trillions of spirit babies. Heaven is where God's throne is at, and all of heaven will be worshiping and praising Him and Him alone and no one else, because there are no other gods. As we discussed during this conference, the direction that many Christian churches are going, and many people who call themselves Christians are going, it's a proof that so many of them are absolutely biblically illiterate. They call themselves Christian, and yet they don't believe in Christian doctrine. They call themselves Christian in that they go another direction. They depend upon emotions and feelings and inner promptings, and they follow false prophets and teachers, and it's leading millions of people astray from the beauty and the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ and in the biblical gospel. Indeed, there are countless ravaging wolves among the sheep. Bringing biblical truths to our viewers, especially those in polygamy, will remain the purpose and the focus of our program. Jesus said the road was narrow and that the people on it are few. That's what He taught. And yet, every soul that turns to the truth is worth every effort. Last month, Kay Brown was on our show again, and she and I discussed many of the stories that we had found in early Mormon polygamist journals and diaries. And I'd just like to remind you that even today, the same horrifying stories that we told are repeated over and over again. They're nightmares in people's lives, even in today's polygamy groups. Time ran out on us last month. We were not able to finish all of the stories that we were going to share with you. So tonight we decided that we would finish up what we had started in November. And next month, I do want to share with our viewers the doctrine of eternal marriage, eternal polygamy, and eternal pregnancy. And we think that you will find our findings eternally disgusting. In the meantime, if you have a story that you would like to tell or you would like to share with us about what you learned about eternal marriage and pregnancy or your reaction to it when you first heard it, we'd love to hear your story if you'd like to email it to us. And then perhaps we can even read it on the air if you don't mind, if you would like to share that with us. Of course, we can read it anonymously too, if you would prefer to do that. But at any rate, you can send your story to tv@aboutpolygamy.com and perhaps we can read it on the air. But I'd like to welcome again tonight to our show, Kay Brown, who's you've been on our show before, and it's always a wonderful blessing to have you here.
Well, thank you. It's always a blessing for me to be here. I appreciate this opportunity.
You've got a lot to share, and you've got quite a story yourself. For our viewers who are not familiar with, our new viewers perhaps, with your background, would you kind of take just a minute to share your Mormon background and what what polygamy had to bearing on your choice to leave?
Sure. Mainstream Mormon, born and raised in the mainstream Mormon church, and come to know that what the Bible teaches is not what I was taught in Mormonism. And polygamy was one of the main topics that, as a young bride, it was very difficult to even know that there was such a thing as polygamy. But when I learned about it and then come to know what the Bible teaches about polygamy, God said, one man, one woman. He's the one that set
marriage. You didn't look
forward
to sharing your husband.
Not at all. Not at all.
Celestial wives.
No.
I mentioned that I'd like people to share what their reaction was when they heard about eternal marriage and celestial wives. And yet, you yourself have a particular reaction that you wanted to share. Would you do that?
Sure. You bet. You bet. It's kind of personal, but as a young bride, I was so much in love with my husband. Still am. We've been married now 43 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And life was really wonderful until, you know, one day I heard about polygamy in a Relief Society lesson. And, of course, you know, when you're young, in Mormonism, you're not taught that in your regular lessons. And so that was kind of new information to me. And I'd heard about Brigham Young and that he'd had a lot of wives, but I didn't realize how personal, you know, polygamy is. And, of course, there was never any mention that Joseph Smith was a polygamist in any Relief Society lesson, even up until 3 years ago when I left Mormonism. Mm-hmm. So it was totally a brand new idea for me.
I hear that for a lot of people, that they didn't know Joseph Smith was.
Yeah, and not only that, it was polygamy, but it was also polyandry, excuse me, which is where Joseph Smith took other wives, and
other men's wives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I asked about the polygamy, I was told, "Well, we don't live it now, and you know, but it will come back someday, and in eternity, that's where we would be living it, but we would feel differently than we do here," we were always told. And I just don't think that's the case. God made us the way that we are, and he made us monogamous, all of us. And, mm-hmm. and so, you mm-hmm. know, that
Absolutely.
Was pretty interesting.
That's true. That's true. So that turns you off of polygamy right there, huh?
right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. A lot of women have that response. In the DVD, Lifting the Veil of Polygamy, Janice Hutchinson tells that story of the woman, the bishop's wife, who just was always in tears, mm-hmm. Not looking forward to heaven where she'd have to share her husband.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine it. In fact, it was actually emotionally devastating for me, you know. But I swallowed my emotions. I learned how to bury them and just ignore them, because basically it's very difficult to survive when you're worrying about that, you know, when that's just always looming over you. And so I did that, and I was really quite hurt, and I felt pretty hopeless, you know, because it not only robbed me of my here and now, but I felt like it robbed me of my joy in eternity, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that was very, mm-hmm, very difficult to take. And I remember I would say, you know, I would walk around my house and I would say, why would God take a religion and add something like polygamy? I mean, does he not love women? You know, I mean, you know, I just remember having that question always on my mind. Does he not really care for us? He must love the men, but he must not love the women. And that, you know, that was pretty hard for me to take. But, you know, once I came to know the biblical teachings about marriage, and that it is one man, one woman, I realized that this was all the creation of evil men, starting with the descendant of Cain, mm-hmm, who was the first one to ever have a polygamous wives, and you know, right down to Joseph Smith and men like him in the world. This is something that was created in man's mind and has been perpetuated by people, including the false prophet Joseph Smith.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. Polygamy did not originate from God. He originated one man and one woman, and all of their love and attention would be for each other.
That's right.
Well, okay, and it's stories like that I'd like to hear from our viewers, if you would care to share them with us, and we can read some of them on the air if you'd like. Anyway, let's get to what we were going to share tonight from what we weren't able to get through last month when we did this. The stories from the diaries, mm-hmm, of some of these early Mormon polygamous women, and the pain and the heartache, mm-hmm, that they went through in polygamy. So do you want to do your story from,
sure,
wife number 19?
Yep. This is found on page 149 in Ann Eliza Young's book, Wife Number 19. And I just want to tell you, first up, most of the stories in the journals are so heart-wrenching. This one I found to be really quite humorous, so I'm kind of glad to get to come back on. So just so that I can tell this one, because I think it's kind of funny myself. So I quote here. She, talking of a polygamous wife, shortly accepted the proposal of Bishop McCrae, a distinguished and prominent Mormon, and became Mrs. McCrae number 2. As may be imagined, Mrs. McCrae number 1 did not take kindly to the interloper, and having a decided objection to polygamy, emphasized her objection by throwing bricks into Mrs. McCrae number 2's window when their mutual husband was her guest. She varied her expressions of opposition and protest by occasionally sending a pistol shot instead of a brick through the window. It may not be out of the way to mention just here that she was and still is the president of the Female Relief Society in her ward, and that one of her chief duties is to instruct the young sisters in polygamy. I have never heard whether she had a shooting gallery attached to the society rooms. Her plan of action was quite successful, and she soon had the field again to herself. For Mrs. McCrae number 2, after adding 2 children to her husband's kingdom, declined any longer to act as a target for Mrs. McCrae number 1, and left her husband voluntarily, and has since lived in a state of widowhood. Unquote.
At least she fought for her husband,
yeah,
didn't she?
Yes.
I don't know if there's very many polygamous men that would put up with her tactics.
And, yeah.
But she
for
won
sure
her
not.
Husband back. She won her, the poor woman that was left in widowhood, you know. But,
yeah,
but
that's
still,
a sad
she,
thing. But
she didn't have to share her husband anymore either.
That's right. And he didn't become a widower.
Nope, he didn't. That is quite a funny story, but it's tragic at
it
the same
is.
Time, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
That they have
yeah.
to go through that for some perceived ordination by God. Mm-hmm. Polygamy doesn't impress God at all. The story that I have is a story about a young woman. She had been proselytized in England. And by the way, most of these stories, the books that we have gotten these stories from, were published in the 1870s, around the 1875 era. And she had been converted to Mormonism while she was in England. She had a fiance that wanted to follow her to America and to Utah, but he wasn't able to. He told her that he would follow her later. So she left for America and then for Utah, and she was offered a home by a man and his wife who coerced her into polygamy by threat of damnation and homelessness if she didn't comply. And this is what she wrote. If I had not consented to polygamy, I would have been turned out of doors, perhaps at night, for such things used to be of frequent occurrence in the early days. After I became a plural wife, I heard of an instance where a young girl had refused to become the fourth wife of a certain bishop. And she was sent away from the house at midnight. Of course, the neighbors missed her, and inquiries were made, but no one seemed to know what had become of her. A few days afterwards, it was rumored that her body was found in the Jordan River. And in relation to that fact, a good Mormon remarked, "In our own home, that dead people tell no tales." And so we find that it was dangerous in those days to reject a proposal of polygamy. It's dangerous in these days, too, by the way. We don't find bodies floating in the Jordan River, but other things happen when a polygamous proposal is made by a polygamous man to a woman, and she might not like it.
A lot of journals make reference to things that happened where they believe people's lives were taken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They disappeared. Mm-hmm. A lot of disappearances.
Yep.
There's even some instances where we found some decapitation take place with the women.
Yes.
Joseph Smith, when he went to a prospective bride, and he would invite her to become a polygamous wife, and if she said no, he would threaten her. He threatened Emma with destruction right there in Section 132, mm-hmm. and he would often threaten a woman with hell or damnation or her family's damnation mm-hmm. If they didn't consent. And he even would go to, like you say, polyandry and ask a woman who's married already. Mm-hmm. And if she said no, then he would threaten to ruin her character, her
yeah.
reputation, if she told anyone about his proposal.
Yeah, there's more than one of those stories that I've read. Personal journals.
It's just deceit and coercion mm-hmm. that they used then.
A lot of tyranny, a lot of fear, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hell
yeah.
and damnation if they don't, and you know, he's standing over with an angel was standing over Joseph Smith telling him he had to or he would be killed, that
right.
sort of thing.
And you know, that couldn't have happened the way Joseph Smith told it. First of all, that's not the way God has his work done.
That's right.
But when he told the story of the angel with a sword ready to kill him, he had already been living polygamy for years when
yeah.
he told that story. So
yeah.
the angel didn't have to do that. But their motto seemed to have been to get rid of the rebellious, and by doing that, they'll instill fear in the rest.
Correct.
And that's mm-hmm. so that's just not the way God operates.
Nope,
okay,
what
story is yours next?
This one is from the book The Women of Mormonism or The Story of Polygamy. And this is from another woman whose experiences in Mormon polygamy. They're too long to relate here, but this is the quote. And I would really ask the viewers to think about this emotional state that a person is in. When you hear what I read, you'll understand why I'm asking you to just think about what it would be like if this were you personally in this situation in polygamy.
And you know, we're talking to a lot of polygamous women who have experienced
yes.
this
yes.
In some
I'm sure they
level
can relate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It says, "As for me, I am sometimes at a loss how to define myself. Often I think I am more demon than human. I have two lovely daughters, both honored wives and mothers. The rest of my children, thank God, died in babyhood. And although I was so heartlessly beguiled into the polygamous system, sometimes I can scarcely help regarding them as children of shame. Before I came to Utah, I was a trustful, true-hearted girl. Now I am but a poor, miserable apology for a woman. I have no belief in anything, no confidence in humanity, no faith in religion, no hope. I am simply a wreck, like thousands of other women whose lives have been blasted under this cruel polygamy system. This, ladies, is my story," she says. "Take it, if you will, and tell the women of America what polygamy has done for one woman, unquote. You know, so many women have just asked that their stories be told so that, you know, that like Annie Liza Young, mm-hmm. she wrote a book. Many have written journals and books and have just pleaded that the world know what an awful thing polygamy is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here she is saying, American women, and I would say men, let's wake up. Polygamy is not of God. Mm-hmm. It needs to be done away with.
It does. And, you know, her story, like she says, thousands of other women, and she was talking in the 1870s, and it's gone on and on and on through the decades after that. And here we are over 100 years later, still putting up with polygamy, still seeing the women and the children under the thumb of tyranny. You know, I can relate somewhat to her, although I never practiced polygamy, but when I did leave, I ran away from the polygamy group. I didn't want God. I didn't want any faith. Some people will leave the group and they just throw God out completely because this God, of course, he's a false God, but this God they learned about is the reason for all this pain and ugliness,
yes,
in the polygamy group.
And that's their perception.
And that's what she's saying. Yeah. She said, I don't have any faith left in a God that does this.
That's right. And who wouldn't feel that way, really? If you're living it, it's a whole lot different than us just talking about
it. No, that is for sure. I remember many, many times hearing my mother sobbing in her bedroom. She'd go in her bedroom and lock the door, and I would hear her sobbing and crying.
That would be heartbreaking.
I never really knew the why of it, but I did hear it. Okay, the story that I have to tell is about a woman who grieved over her husband's polygamous marriage, and this is right after they got married. And the emotional pain, inner pain that she went through at this time, she said after George, which is her husband, had married the second wife, he did not return to my lonely home for several days. He was afraid to meet the storm of grief and indignation, which he knew I could not repress. And when he did come home, I felt as if I could have torn him to pieces. I wanted to kill him with my own hands, and then I would have fallen dead at his feet. He was not my own husband any longer, the life of my life and the soul of my soul. Another woman had come between us and severed the bond that had made us one. He could never be to me again on earth what he had been before. This was a new polygamous marriage for the husband, and the wife was in agony, just emotional hell she was going through. She loved her husband. She wanted to kill him and then die herself because of the misery that polygamy had done to her home. You know, she says this, and I find this very interesting. She says, he was not my own husband any longer.
Right.
You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2 says, each man is to have his own wife, and each wife is to have her own husband. She didn't have her own husband anymore.
Yeah, that's right. She was sharing him from that point on. Changed everything.
And it'd never be the same.
No.
Even if that second wife was gone and never came back, there is a severance that had happened in their marriage bond.
Yeah. And God is not pleased with that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He hates divorce. Of course, there are times when that is appropriate. But, you know, God honors marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important. And I believe far more so now that I understand Christianity and understand how God feels about marriage.
Yeah.
Marriage is very sacred, and I find it a lot more sacred in the Christian belief than even in mainstream Mormonism, though they claim it's eternal marriage, because if one of them falls away from the LDS Church, they're admonished to go find someone else who will be sealed to them in the temple and, you know, go with them through eternity. And so they sever that very often for that reason.
We understand through things like this that God desires the one. You know, there's no way that three can become one.
That's right.
Just two can become one.
Then the two shall become
Right, but three can't. Four
that's
can't,
right,
and
exactly.
Five, a half a dozen can't. Mm-hmm. Polygamy ruins lives. That's what we read as we read all these stories in these mm-hmm. journals, that polygamy totally ruined so many lives. And it's mm-hmm. I wonder if all of this pain, if it will ever be stopped.
Not until people will take a stand and stop this right that people believe they have to continue this bondage, and it is a bondage of polygamy. Until people take that stand and are willing to, you know, go to the legislators, sometimes I just feel like just taking a little army and just going to Washington and say, this is how it is, you know, fix it. It's not that easy. But you know what? It can stop with us. It can stop with us. And that's where it needs to stop. Think of your children. Think of the children's lives.
Well, that's one reason that we do this show, is so that we can put it in the hearts of the polygamist women and the men that they can have a life of just one-on-one and have someone who is a heart's partner for them. Mm-hmm. Your next story, I think this is the last one, isn't it, from the journals?
Yeah, I think it is. This one, again, is from the Women of Mormonism, or the Story of Polygamy. And I quote, "There is a lady living at present," and this was about 1875, "in Salt Lake City, and one of the best and most lovable of women she is, too, who was induced by methods which we dare not even mention to make the last and most cruel sacrifice which this barbarous faith demands of women, that of placing the hand of the new bride in that of her husband. On their way to the endowment house, she said to him, 'I am going to lie to you, lie to the president, and lie to God. For I must say I consent to this marriage when I had rather die 1,000 deaths than have it take place.'" And I believe that's the true heart of a woman.
She was caught in the web of Sarah's Law. In section 132 of the Doctrine and Covenants, mm-hmm. it says that if a man wants to take another wife, he has to get permission from his first wife, mm-hmm. and she's to give him permission, and then he can legally take her in God's eyes. But if she denies him permission, then she is to be destroyed and go ahead and marry her anyway. Mm-hmm. And so this woman, but you know what really touches my heart in this is, she said that she is going to lie to the president, which would be Brigham Young, mm-hmm. and lie to God.
Yeah.
I want to say something here to women who have married in polygamy. I do know of some cases where a woman would leave her husband except for she was afraid that she'd be breaking a covenant to God by leaving her polygamous marriage. But I'm here to tell you, this woman and you, if you've married polygamous, have not made a covenant with God, because God does not recognize polygamy. It is not His plan. You can leave and not be afraid that you've broken a covenant with God. Now, if it's a first wife where you've had that true marriage covenant in monogamy, yes, that then you would have that to deal with. But not if you've married in polygamy. That is something that God does not recognize. So don't be afraid. Don't have the guilt trip. One woman, her husband, just kept telling her over and over, "You're going to break your covenant with God." And she mm-hmm. was about the 15th wife. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no covenant with God. Go ahead and leave. We'll help you. Give us a call. We'll help you. Anyway, the resources for these stories have been Wife Number 19, which was written by Ann Eliza Young, and she was a plural wife of Brigham Young. Another book that we got some of these stories from was Tell It All by Fanny Stenhouse, and The Women of Mormonism, or The Story of Polygamy, edited by Jenny Anderson Froyseth. You can get all of these books on the internet free. You can download them to your computer on a PDF file and read these stories for yourself. You can also go to www.utlm.org and purchase the books. I bought two of them from UTLM.org, and you can read these stories for yourself. They're loaded with stories, loaded with historical accounts, and these are but a short sample of what's in the books. Polygamy in early Mormonism was not an era of romantic polygamy like some Mormon people would like us to believe. It's nothing that they should be proud of.
No.
So we've got some telephone calls coming in, and we're going to take them before we continue on. But we would encourage you to read up on the history, really, on the history of polygamy, and you'll come to the same conclusion that God has. He wants one man and one woman. Okay, anonymous call from Salt Lake City on line two. Hello, you're on the air, anonymous.
Yes, you bring up a good point there. Why is polygamy allowed to go on?
Well, why don't you call the Attorney General's office and ask them that question?
I'm not going to do that.
Oh.
I just need to know what's going on in this state. I'm not from here at all. And I wonder, it's against the law.
Yes.
For one thing.
Uh-huh.
They scream about all these other things that are going on in crimes or whatever, but nobody does anything about this polygamy. It's sordid.
Yes.
It's not what God ordained in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't what Christ talked about. And his teachings and in the Bible, so how can this go on? It's supposed to be a Christian place.
There's too much sympathy.
Why is this going on?
From the general authorities, from the Mormon mainstream, from the FLDS,
I hang up and you talk about that point. Why is this going on?
Okay,
who allows this to go on?
We'll discuss it after you hang up. Thank you for calling.
I don't want to talk anymore.
Okay, it's a good question. Thank you. Okay, anonymous. We get this call every few weeks. Someone called wondering why it is a law, mm-hmm. against the law. It's a felony, mm-hmm. actually. But you made the remark, too much sympathy.
Yeah, there's sympathy from the mainstream Mormonism and the FLDS and any other polygamous group. And that's a question that I've had too. And I really appreciate that a man, you know, will stand up and say, why is this going on? You know, this is what we need more of. We need people with the moral fortitude to say enough is enough. Let's eradicate polygamy. Let's get rid of it. But
one of the reasons, sir, also is that it takes a victim, and very, very few, if any, people from polygamy groups will come forward as a victim and press charges. Mm-hmm. It's hard, very difficult, almost impossible to prove polygamy. Someone has to come forward and say, I have been polygamously married to this man and I want to press charges against him, or whatever it is. Even abuses in polygamy won't be prosecuted because a victim won't come forward. And the reason why is that the polygamy groups instill fear and the wrath of God on anyone who tries to press charges or to bring the legal into it. It's a very difficult thing to crack. And the reason we're doing this show is because we want to go through the spiritual level of this and help the polygamists to understand they don't have to do this. And if polygamy ended by attrition, that would be our goal. So we hope we at least got part of your question answered. Okay, we have an off-the-air question from Carol in Centerville. It says, how did Kay come out of Mormonism? A brief testimony?
Sure. I studied the history, and I went straight to the LDS Church history books. And when I did that, I discovered the true history, which isn't the history that I was taught growing up. And when I did that, then I began to learn what the Bible teaches. And when I did that, I took it to God. And God was so gracious that he allowed me to see the bondage peel off of me before my eyes, right out a window, and fall to the ground heavy. And when that came off of me, God breathed into me, and it was a breath that I did not take. He breathed into me. And at that point, the light came, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was something that I'd never heard of, but that was a true experience that happened to me. And I knew that God had answered my prayer because I asked him very specifically in that prayer you know, what I should do, and told him that I believed the negative things about the LDS faith. And when he did that, I was free, and I felt free. I had never felt such freedom and joy ever in my life. And so it's hard to make it too brief, but that's the gist of it. I then, myself and many of my family members, we sent letters into the church. We removed our names from the church. We knew that it was a false religion under a false prophet. And I never looked back. My life as a Christian, a Christian, just following the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word alone in the Bible, has given us more joy in our lives than we ever had in a whole lifetime. And I'm very grateful.
That's absolutely true. You don't even really know what joy is until you know Jesus, mm-hmm. and the salvation by grace alone,
that's right.
Through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Okay, we have line one, Jane from Salt Lake City. Hello, Jane. Jane?
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I just have a couple questions about some of the things you've been saying. I don't believe that the mainstream Mormonism still believes in polygamy. In fact, if you do believe it, you're excommunicated from the church.
Well, they still believe it, Jane. They believe they're going to live it in eternity, so they still believe it. And they still have the doctrines in the Doctrine and Covenants. So they haven't turned it away. They haven't turned it down. They haven't refuted it.
From the past.
No, it's still in your doctrine of today. They still believe you're going to live it in heaven. Mm-hmm. In fact, some Mormon missionaries go out and teach they're going to start living polygamy when the millennium comes.
Oh,
that it's
going to
be that it's going to be restored.
I don't believe I've ever heard any missionaries ever say that.
Well, I have.
Oh.
And others have as well.
And there was a television program on just recently. It was some scholars from BYU, and they were actually reading from the Doctrine and Covenants, and they were talking about celestial marriage, and they stopped before they got to the end of Section 132 of the Doctrine and Covenants, which is where it's very plainly stated, you either live polygamy or you are damned. And so you'll want to go and read that, but don't stop halfway through Section 132. You've got to read the whole thing to know.
Well, I've read the whole thing, so
yeah.
You don't need to worry
then
about
know.
But,
then
I'm
you know.
I'm just wondering, so, okay, you said it's from the Doctrine, but I was wondering where you got the other facts from.
What other facts? Which other ones are you referring to?
Just about, you were talking about the vision where Angel came with a knife.
A sword.
Joseph Smith claimed to some of his wives when he proposed to them that an angel with a sword threatened to kill him if he didn't practice polygamy.
And that's the truth. There are many, many histories, journals of actual people that lived this and, that were firsthand witnesses to these things taking place. And it's in the church history.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to volume 5 of the actual church history, the one that the mainstream has, it's Joseph Smith's actual history, you will read in there, in volume 5, it tells you that Joseph took other wives. And this is all true, but we're not taught it in our mainstream Mormonism. If I didn't know it by the time I was 57 years old, 3 years ago, that should tell you something. They didn't ever tell us, and I've talked with Stake Relief Society presidents and Ward Relief Society presidents. They were not told either. It's news to them, but there is a book. It's called Sacred Loneliness. Go check it out at a library or buy it. Sacred Loneliness. That's the journal.
It's in Sacred Loneliness by Todd
Sacred
Cape,
Loneliness.
Not by
Todd
Compton. Okay. No, thank you, but that, I just...
Well, Jane, you say no thank you, and you're not agreeing with what we're saying, but you don't want to check it out for yourself. So, you know, that's what you need to do. You need to check it out and test it for yourself. That's what God wants you to do.
Oh, I know. I've read the Book of Mormon. I've read the Doctrine and Covenants. I've practiced it my whole life, and I know exactly what God wants me to do, and He's told me this is right. And so it makes me really sad that you think that you're free from the church and you feel you're free, because that's not at all how it's supposed to be. But
well, I'm following it,
and I just hope that you guys would take the time to read the Book of Mormon and to find out for
yourself. I've read it several times, and there's
that's reason. Really yeah. Did you pray about it? Because when I did I know for a fact that it's
yeah
really,
Jane, we both prayed about it and found out it was wrong. Mm-hmm. That was our answer.
I'm sorry that you have such a hard heart about that, and I hope that one day you can come back to it.
Thank you, Jane. Good night. Okay, Matt from Logan we have on line two. Hello, Matt.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh,
You might want to turn your TV down,
yes, I was
Matt.
Just wondering if you knew that in the Bible, the... Oh, are
turn,
you there?
Turn your TV down, Matt.
Oh, I can hear you. Okay,
yeah.
There you are.
Turn it down. Turn your TV down, sir.
It's definitely down.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
I was just wondering if you knew that in the Bible, the prophets of old had multiple wives.
Yes, but were they told to take them? Were they commanded?
No.
They were? When? Where?
Never.
Where?
Oh, okay. Well, there are many examples in the Bible of the old prophets.
Matt, where were they commanded to live polygamy?
Where were they commanded?
Yeah, they did live polygamy. I'm not disagreeing with you, but where were they commanded to live polygamy?
I've been watching your show here, and I just haven't felt the spirit, and...
Well, we're sorry about that. We have.
I'm so sorry.
what is it?
I served a 2-year mission, and...
Matt, what other question? Matt, Matt,
true.
What other question did you have? Okay? Did you have another
question? That was
question?
My question. Did you asked God, and you got an answer that it was wrong. Wow. Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Have a great night.
Well, thank you. We are. Good night. We thank you for calling. Okay. Don from Syracuse, line 3. Hello, Don.
Yes,
you're on the air.
Ms. Brown made a statement earlier that the general authorities of the LDS Church are sympathetic toward plural marriage. I wonder if you could have some kind of definitive statement, some reference to substantiate that comment.
Well, Section 132 of the Doctrine and Covenants.
You said that the leaders of the church.
Well, that's their doctrine.
That they're sympathetic.
That's their doctrine. They are sympathetic to it because, if they weren't, they would be helping to eradicate it, but
it just
perpetuates.
It.
It just continues to go on and on. Maybe not all of them do, but if there was not the sympathy, really basically what it is, it's the sympathy that is here in Utah toward polygamy.
And they still seal multiple women to men in the temple,
mm-hmm.
and it's still a Mormon practice.
Absolutely. I know relatives that have had more than one wife sealed to them in the temple. So if that is a true statement that I made.
So you have no statement, though, that you can quote. You can't give me a reference in some of their written material, can you?
Well, Don, the fact that they still seal multiple women to men in the temple is a statement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we need anything more than that, and they haven't taken 132 out of the Doctrine and Covenants. That's another statement.
Correct.
They still teach that...
Let me see if I understand you correctly. Are you saying that current Mormon leadership are in favor of... plural marriage that is taking place today, not sealing in the temples, I'm not saying that. Are they encouraging or in favor of plural marriage that is taking place today?
No, that is not what Kay said.
That's not at all what I said.
We were talking about
why. I'm glad that she clarified that then.
What?
I appreciate that clarification because what it came out as is she said that Mormon leaders today approve of it. And that's not exactly right.
We were talking about why it isn't prosecuted. The Mormon Church doesn't push it to be prosecuted. They'd like to put it out of sight, out of mind, and forget that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
If they push to get it prosecuted, you can bet that it would. With the power they have in this state, it would. But they don't.
I'm sure that is your opinion, but I'm not sure you can have the power to speak for them.
We don't speak for the church.
You
but
have no references, no statements from them, so you're speaking your own opinion.
The reference
that's
is
exactly
the section,
right.
132.
We're speaking what we see, mm-hmm. what we hear, and
what
happens.
Yes, you are. So don't pretend to speak and make statements about what you think they believe.
No pretense here, Don.
Back it up.
No pretense here. No one made a statement in for the church or the church authorities. She
That's
gave an
right.
opinion, exactly.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good night. Okay, an off-the-air statement. Jean and Roy K. as a Mormon, did you believe that you would practice polygamy in heaven?
Absolutely. That's, you know, that's what was taught. When I was young, I heard that in Relief Society lessons. Section 132 states it. Joseph Smith had wives sealed to him for time and for eternity. That's really what it is when they are sealed together in polygamy. It's for the eternities.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Mm-hmm.
His wives were sealed to him for time and eternity. Mm-hmm. And then when Joseph Smith died, when he was shot, Heber C. Kimball and Brigham Young got most of his widows. Not all of them, but most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then these widows, and there was 30-some-odd widows that they had to deal with. And these widows were sealed then to this other husband for time.
Mm-hmm.
So they were sealed for time and eternity to one man, then for eternity to Joseph Smith, then for time to Brigham Young or Heber C. Kimball or whatever other person
they
married.
And then Joseph Smith will have them for eternity.
For eternity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
And then after Joseph Smith died and after Brigham Young died, hundreds of women were sealed to both of them. So they've got hundreds of wives.
Yeah.
Celestial glory. Oh, my. Line one, we have Mary from Cedar City. Hello.
So you guys had Sandra Tanner.
Uh-huh.
I
guess we got in on a conversation. I thought it was ready, but it wasn't. Okay, there's other calls here that they're just not quite ready to come in. So I thought that to add to the stories that we talked about tonight, that I would add a contemporary story. Everything that we discussed had been written in the 1800s and happened, I guess, in the 1860s mm-hmm. and 70s. But this one I got from the Denver Post, August 15th of 2004. It says, when she was 4 years old, she was sexually abused by a half-brother. As a young child, she was raped by another half-brother and fondled by a half-sister. At 12, she was courted by one of her father's friends, and when she slapped his straying hand, the enraged man screamed that she didn't have a right as a child or as a woman to reject him. Instead of chastising his friend, her father punished her. On her 13th birthday, her sister's husband gave her a wedding cake as his way of proposing to her. She married him at 17, and 4 months later, her polygamist husband was out looking for another wife. Some years later, she had flashbacks of being raped by her father and his friends, and a half-sister also had identical nightmares. And so we have some discussion points on this. You know, the freedom, the polygamists want their lifestyle to be legalized under the guise of freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that freedom of religion is applicable only to the men.
Yeah.
But not to the women and the children. A forced choice of one is no choice at all. And if we have some viewers out there who would like to weigh in on this, we would sure like to hear from you. Is this really a freedom in religion? Is it really for all concerned or just the men? Okay, it looks like Mary from Cedar City is ready. Okay, Mary?
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, okay.
Yes, what's your question?
Well, I just had a comment on, like, freedom of religion. It's not really freedom of religion. It's a man's thing. It seems like everybody has a lust issue in life of some kind. Men's happens to be sexual. It's women who get hurt. It's women who have to leave polygamy. Men never leave polygamy.
Well, there's some who do, but not the way a woman has to leave.
Well, there's a few that leave, but they have to either come to the Lord or find a way before they see the error of their ways, because there's a mm-hmm. natural lust in men and women, but a different thing. And polygamy fans that lust into a burning flame. That's why men don't leave it. They have no reason to.
Mm-hmm.
It's women who get hurt.
Yes.
And children.
Yes.
and they leave. You don't see the young boys in polygamy very. There's a few leaving, but not very many.
Well, the young boys are often driven out of polygamy because they would want to marry the young girls that the older men would want
to
marry.
Well, they can go get their own women.
There's a lot of
competition. Most of them go back. I've lived in Utah all my life around polygamy. I'm not a polygamist. I'm not a Mormon. I was a Mormon. I understand these things, but I also understand human nature.
Yes.
This is a thing that happens all over the world, not just in Utah polygamy.
Well, they have made polygamy a God thing here, and that's the tragedy of it, because they force and give the guilt into the people, and especially to the girls and the women, that God requires it, and it scares them, and that puts them into a guilt trip, and then they feel like this is what God wants.
Have you looked at polygamy all over the world? Do you know there's over, what, like 90 million missing women? They rape them. They use them as sex objects. They use them as wives to help themselves. This kind of abuse is going on all over the world.
You're right.
Not just Utah.
You're right.
Yeah.
But like I said, Utah has made it more of a tragedy because they blame God for it. These other societies don't require it for salvation. A Mormon polygamy does. That's the difference. But I agree with you, Mary.
Yes, they do. And, and they also think it's going to be the greatest reward they ever
do. Right.
They have their own harem.
A lot like the Muslim.
Yes. So it's a sad thing. But if women are, if polygamy is going to, the man that was on who said, why aren't they doing something? It's because men are not going to, they're sympathetic to other men, but they're living
polygamy.
That's
the sympathy we're talking about. That's right.
Yeah.
So well, it's never going to. The only way this is ever going to change is if there's enough women that can stand up, and I love your ministry that you can help these women. I love Sandra Tanner because of all of the help that she has done for anybody.
Yes, absolutely.
Not just polygamous, but anyone. But it's going to be the women that change this whole thing because they're the ones that are getting hurt.
They do need to stand up, though. If the women in polygamy
don't
would stand up.
Men to.
There are some men, believe it or not, that
That God has changed. They've seen the error of their ways. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. My husband's one of them. He says it's not right.
That's a good thing. Some men do, but they usually come to the Lord first so that they get their eyes open.
Well, Mary, we want to thank you for your call. You made some very good points. We do need to close up the show now, though, but we thank you.
Bless you both.
Thank you, Mary. Good night. Good night. Christy from Orem, we don't have time to take your call. If you would like to call next week or if you could leave a message and a telephone number, I'd be happy to call you back after the show. Our closing comments tonight, first of all, thank you, Kay, for
thank you for having me.
You coming, and thank our viewers for viewing and our callers for calling. And I hope you'll come back next week as we interview Brent Jeffs. You know, one of the reasons is we talked tonight that the women put up with this roller coaster awful life of polygamy is because they believe, like we've said, that they have to live it in order to please God. They were taught from the beginning that's what God requires. Their polygamy husband is going to be a god, and she has to be a goddess with him and give him all of these babies, and without multiple wives, he can't do that. But remember that Jesus Christ is the Savior, not polygamy, and there is nothing in the world that you can do to add to his salvation. You know, Jesus didn't bleed on in the garden for your sins. He died on the cross for our sins, and he didn't ascend into heaven until he went to the cross, and neither can we. There's the highest heaven is where God's throne is, and he's invited us there, and the only way we get there is if we humble ourselves at the foot of his cross, admitting that there's nothing at all that we can do. We have no righteousness of our own, but Christ's righteousness will be credited to us. We hope you'll do that tonight and take his gift. Thanks for watching our show, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email at whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.